Hello again, this is Luma Digest, Thursday afternoon edition. I'm Nora. So, something landed today that I have been waiting to see for years. And it is not a prototype, it is not a pilot, it is actual production agreements for humanoid robots moving into European factories. Let me back up. Humanoid, the robotics company, just signed deals with Bosch and Schaeffler. Bosch is manufacturing the robots, Schaeffler is deploying thousands of them across their German facilities starting December 2026. Not next decade, not when the technology matures, 2.5 years from now. The proof of concept ran in a Bosch facility in Buhl, Germany. The robots handled box transfer, 5 different box sizes, varying heights, varying weights, industrial settings, not lab conditions. And here is the bit that really matters. They did it without redesigning the factory. No custom infrastructure, no special end effectors. The wheeled bimanual manipulators, these are robots with 2 arms on a mobile base, fit into workflows that were already designed for humans. That is the unlock. Because if you need to rebuild your entire facility to accommodate robots, the math does not work for most manufacturers. But if the robots adapt to your existing setup, that changes the conversation entirely. Schaeffler is targeting 4-digit deployments by 2032. That is not experimental compute. That is manufacturing planning, supply chain commitments, budget allocation. The robotics industry just crossed a visibility threshold. We have gone from research labs to actual industrial deployments at scale. Worth keeping an eye on where this goes next. Now, over to AI and machine learning. And this one properly surprised me. OpenAI's reasoning model just disproved an 80-year-old conjecture in mathematics. The Erdos unit distance problem. It is a question in discrete geometry that has been open since the 1940s. And a general-purpose language model, not a system built specifically for mathematics, solved it. Here is what happened. The model held together a chain of reasoning that discovered new geometric constructions. It ran for under 32 hours, cost under $1,000 in compute. And mathematicians like Timothy Gowers are calling it the first clear example of AI solving a well-known open problem. Now, I know that sounds abstract, but think about what this actually means. This was not an algorithmic breakthrough. It was not a clever prompt. It was extended reasoning at inference time. The model connected ideas across fields built on previous results and arrived at something new, something that human mathematicians had been working on for decades. If that pattern generalizes beyond pure mathematics, into biology, into physics, into engineering, the implications for how researchers work shift completely. Because you are not just automating calculations, you are augmenting the process of discovery itself. The takeaway? We are watching reasoning capacity improve in ways that matter for actual research problems, not benchmarks, not toy examples, real unsolved questions. Have a think about what that means for your own field. Right. So moving on to voices and thought leaders. I spent some time with Jake Cooper's piece on railway this morning, and it is one of those essays that rewires how you think about infrastructure. Railway is building what Cooper calls the agent native cloud, and the thesis is fascinating. Here is the setup. Current cloud providers optimize for human developers. You write code, you deploy it, you monitor it. But agents operate differently. They fork environments constantly, they experiment, they iterate. They need infrastructure that can spin up copies of production without risk. Current platforms were not built for that. So Railway rebuilt from first principles. They run bare metal data centers with 70% margins, 3-month hardware payback period. They have 35 people on the team, 3 million users, and they are seeing over $200,000 monthly in agent coding spend. Not from enterprises, from individual developers building agent workflows. Cooper talks about safe production forking, the ability to clone your entire environment, test something, and either merge it back or discard it. That is table stakes for agents. And it is nearly impossible on traditional cloud platforms without massive complexity. The bit that stuck with me? He said current infrastructure is held together by decades of assumptions that do not apply anymore. And instead of patching those assumptions, Railway is asking what you would build if you started today. Knowing agents are the primary workload, that is a different game entirely. For anyone building on agents right now, and I know quite a few of you are, this is worth your full attention, because the infrastructure you choose shapes what you can build, and if your platform was not designed for agent workflows, you are fighting uphill. Something to think about. Let's pivot to builders and platforms for a minute. Someone wrote a piece this week about moving beyond prompt engineering, and honestly, it landed. The headline is blunt, prompt engineering is not enough, and the argument is that if you are relying on prompt tuning to get structured outputs from LLMs, you are 1 API change away from breaking production. So this builder implemented a control layer above the LLM, system-level design, not prompt tweaks. The result? 100% structured output reliability. It handles JSON failures, silent errors, outages, All the things that kill production systems when you treat the LLM as infallible. Here is the thing. Prompt engineering is useful, but it is not architecture. And if your system depends entirely on the LLM behaving perfectly, you have built on sand. The control layer approach treats the LLM as a component, powerful but fallible, and wraps it in logic that ensures reliability even when the model misbehaves. The takeaway: if you are building on LLMs in production, you need failure modes, you need fallbacks. You need to assume the model will do something unexpected and design for that. Prompt engineering is part of the toolkit. It is not the foundation. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? And one more from builders before we close. A tool called Guard Clause just launched, and it is doing something interesting with legal contracts. Instead of treating contracts as monolithic documents, it applies structured analysis at the clause level, evaluates risk context, generates negotiation scripts. And here is the bit that matters for anyone handling sensitive agreements. Privacy-first architecture, ephemeral Redis cache, no persistent storage, your contracts never touch a database. Now, I am not a lawyer, but I have watched enough contract negotiations to know that most tools in this space either oversimplify to the point of uselessness, or they are so complex that nobody uses them. Guard Clause seems to sit in the middle, structured enough to be useful, simple enough to actually adopt. If you are dealing with NDAs, vendor agreements, client contracts, anything where you need to move fast but cannot afford to miss a risky clause, this is worth a look. Right, that is everything for this edition. So, stepping back from all of that, here is what I keep coming back to. The robotic story and the infrastructure story are connected. We are watching production systems move from human-operated to agent-operated to robot-operated. And the platforms that win are the ones that redesign from first principles, not the ones that bolt agents onto legacy architecture. Something to think about on the commute home. Thanks for being here. I will see you in the next one.